was down at the feet of Jesus. Oh, the blessed, happy day that my soul found peace in believing, and my sins were all washed away. Let me tell the old story of His grace, so full and free. Let my heart keep giving Him the glory for His wondrous love to me. For His wondrous love to me. It was down at the feet of Jesus where I found such perfect rest, where the light first dawned on my spirit, and my soul was full. His grace so full and free. Let my heart keep giving Him the glory for His wondrous love to me. For His wondrous love to me. It was down at the feet of Jesus where I brought my guilt and sin, that He paid my debt and forgave me. For He died my soul to win. Let me tell the old story of His grace so full and free. Let my heart keep giving Him the glory for His wondrous love to me. For His wondrous love to me.
I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. I owe a lot to a lot of people here. It'd be bad if I started trying to name them. I'd miss somebody, and I'd hate to do that. A couple things I don't like: preachers that can sing and play the piano. Somebody said they couldn't carry the tune in the bucket. I can't even tote the bucket. Amen. I appreciate Brother Angel you having us, and Brother Coral, and a lot of pressure on these guys, folks. And you ought to pray for them in these meetings. Amen. And boy, it's been so good, hasn't it? I mean, look, boy, you ought to be willing to go back home and just really get after it. Amen. I'll hurry along here. I don't know if I told you last year about everyone is screaming racism these days, you know. And So as Cajun, he walked into a place and he said, what aisle is the andouille on? And Brother Gomez can explain that to you, and Brother Foote, and I can, and so can my son. And it just take a while, but it's sure good in jambalaya, and it's sure good in gumbo. You know, and I told you behind my mansion in heaven is going to be a gumbo lake. And I'm going to swim in every morning with my mouth open. Then I'm going to climb a jambalaya mountain, eat my way up and fall over in a big valley of banana pudding. You know, somebody said, that ain't going to be in heaven. It's going to be heaven, ain't it? Anyway. So the clerk looked at him and said, are you a Cajun? And you have to watch these guys. Now, these Cajuns are wonderful people. They love you or they hate you. And sometimes they're easily ticked off. Now, you folks don't know what that is. That's Hebrew, and you can look it up. And the Cajun said, well, yes, I am. But he said, let me ask you a question. He said, if I'd asked for Italian sausage, would you ask me, was I Italian? Or if I'd asked for German bratwurst, would you ask me if I was German? Or if I asked you for a hot dog, especially a kosher one, would you ask me if I was Jewish? Or if I'd ask you for a taco, would you ask if I was a Mexican? And the clerk said, well, he said, I probably wouldn't. So the Cajun guy with deep, deep self-righteous indignation and said, why did you ask me if I was a Cajun? Because I asked for andouille. He said, because you're in Home Depot. You don't get that in Home Depot. You get it in the grocery store. Brother Gomez and I had the privilege several years ago to preach in Pontiac, Michigan. Dr. Malone, and it was a blessing but a sad thing. We walked through those buildings and they were dirty. I cried and I couldn't believe it. I mean, it's just a mess. The week before Dr. Garish got there, they had 100 Sunday school. There's a revival fires meeting. And I went back home and said to my church, I said, look, I said, you know, and then several other places, you know, Highland Park's not there anymore and all that. And I said, you know, I've been somewhere and I've been thinking about this for a long time. And I said, we don't want that to happen at Central Baptist Church. We just don't want that to happen. And so I was meeting with my men and they said, preacher, one day you're just going to walk off and leave us? And I said, no. And one of them said something unusual. It used to be a curse, the Fundamental Baptist, but I'm glad it's not anymore. And I'm glad we can drive nice cars now, don't you? No, used to, if you drove a nice car, you were out of God's will as a Fundamental Baptist. You really were. Some of you guys don't know that. You young guys ought to thank God. Brother Smith remembers that, and so does others. And one of them said, well, we want to set you up on a retirement plan. And they said, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to get somebody to come in here that will keep the music going, the standards going, the distinctives going. And so it's been a privilege to have my son come and help. And one day he'll do that. And it's been a blessing. And, boy, it's been a big relief. And he's been a great help to me. It's wonderful. He's doing now what I don't want to do. And he does it with joy. And he's born and bred, old-fashioned fundamental, spit and sand, blowed in bottles, and jumped to a wall, shot and Baptist. And so it's been a blessing to have him with me this week. My wife didn't want to come. Used to, when I used to travel, she'd say, can I go? And I'd say, no. Somebody's got to watch the kids. And when they got to be teenagers, I said, we can't leave them alone for 1 minute as a teenager. So after they all left, she said, I don't want to go. And she's speaking in Dallas next week 8 times. I told her she made more money than me. She could go all time. Amen. Thank you so much. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. I'll try to do this like my mama's biscuits, put a little shortening in it. You remember those? See, nobody remembers those days. Nowadays, you pop a can, throw it in the oven, and, you know, it all comes out. I heard somebody say, you ask a girl before you marry, can you fix biscuits? And do you know how to fix white gravy? Now, down deep, down south, when I went down to Louisiana, that was a curse word. Brother Bazette, his Cajun, he said, I ain't eating that white stuff. And you hear Brother Gilmore saying, no. And then we used to do a big junior camp. My wife headed up the kitchen stone anymore, and she made some of it, and he fell over in it, and now he loves it. And so you ask him, can you make biscuits? And white gravy. Would you stand in honor of God's word, 1 Chronicles chapter 12? I'm telling you, this has always been big business to me. And then you hear some of these preachers preach, and man, you know, you really say, and you preachers know, you say, Lord, I want to be right on. I don't want to mess this thing up. I messed so much stuff up before I got saved. And, of course, there's no preachers in my family. I never met my dad's dad. And some of you fellows, same instant, my dad's mom, and came from a tough background and had to start a new generation. And I wished I would have got saved as soon as I could understand how to get saved. My mama's dad killed a man and changed his name and kind of went off to another part of the country. My daughter was doing our family tree, and she said, Dad, you need to apologize. I said, wasn't my fault. And she got to my mom, and it stopped. We don't know anything past that. And my dad, she found some stuff. So this is big business. 1 Chronicles 12, I'm going to read verse 1. We'll pray, and you can be seated. Now, these are they that came to David to Ziklag. How would you like to say I'm from Ziklag? But he yet kept himself close because of Saul, the king, the son of Kish, and they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us so much, and I needed it. I'm hungry. Thank you for good preachers that love you, Lord. Lord, I know our old country's sick, but I believe we can do something. Lord, I'm not going to give up. Lord, I'm not. I have 9 little grandkids and some children. And I really believe if you open up the Red Sea and that many Jews walked across in one night, I believe you can help this country. I believe if you took a little boy's lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and you fed 20,000 people probably, I believe you can help this country. And as our governor said to a group of preachers, me and my son was there, and he looked at us and he said, fellas, you're the hope for this country. I pray that we'd realize that through these meetings. Thank you again for letting me preach here. Thank you for Bill Angel and Brother Coral and what we've heard. Now, Lord, use me. I don't want to preach a sermon. I want to be like our brother just preaching these others. Help me to say something that's good and helpful in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want you to look a little further. I want you to look in verse number 23 right quickly. Right quickly, verse 23. And these are the number of the bands that were ready armed to war and came to David to Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord. Please look in verse 31. And the half tribe of Manasseh, 18,000, which were expressed by name, to come to make David king. Look in verse 38. And the Bible says, and all these men of war that could keep rank came with perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. Now, that's the thought, but I want to call this, let's make Jesus king. Let's make Jesus king. And if you look, verse number 1 is the introduction, and it's enough that needs to be said right now. Look at it real close. The Bible says, now these are they, and it names them down through there. We're not going to take time to go through all of those thousands that came. To David, to Ziklag, while he was yet kept himself close because of Saul, the son of Kish. Now listen to this. And they came and were among the mighty men. I like that statement. My wife said to me, you're going to have to quit calling some of our men sissies. I said, when they put on real underwear and quit wearing silk ones, I'll quit calling them sissies. Some of you guys afraid to say amen, your wife will whip you later. When I was a kiddo, men were men. Boy, they were men, you know. Now watch this. These were mighty men. Now, fellas, let me tell you something. We get an idea that these guys maybe, you know, they weren't superhuman like you see on TV. They were just mighty men. These were real men. You know, they didn't have some kind of special glow about them. They were just men. Watch this now. Helpers of the war. Helpers of the war. Let me say to you right quickly, we are in a war. Now, we are literally in a war. And I'm not trying to discourage you, younger preacher. You're facing some battles, buddy, I'll never face. But you got a great helper, you know that. But we're in a spiritual war. We're in a war like we've never had before. There's no such thing as same-sex marriage. There's no such thing. That's a stupid statement. And you already know that. And we're in a war. Listen to me. We're in a war, I mean, literally for humanity, for mankind, for the sanctity of mankind. And we're strange creatures. The Bible calls us saints. I'm not much of one. It calls us servants, and I like that. And the Bible also calls us sheep. But the Bible also calls us soldiers. And so we're in a war. And these guys came, these men were soldiers. And they came with a reason, and they came to make David king. They didn't come to say, look what a big shot I am. Look what I'm doing. They came to make David king. You and I have a goal, and that's to make the Lord Jesus Christ king. Now, it used to a long time ago, you know, that wasn't as hard. When I was a kid in public school, it didn't mean much to me. Every morning we got seated, the first thing the principal came on, he said, students, we'll now have the reading out of a King James Bible. That's what happened when I was in school. I even read it myself. Didn't mean anything to me. But now that's not going to happen. So I had an influence of the Bible even though I didn't go to church. Didn't know what that was like. That's not happening anymore. Everybody's got every kind of influence in the world. And everybody's made to make a man look stupid, especially if he's the head of the house. You remember used to, and there was a little show, and some of you don't know, called Leave It to Beaver. Now that kid was nuts. But did you see how his dad was dressed? And you know there used to be a TV show called Father Knows Best. That wouldn't even work today. You couldn't do that today. So we need some men, and especially preachers, that come along and realize we're in a war. And then number two, they volunteered to fight. They volunteered to fight. Now, I know, and I think it's okay, and don't take it wrong, some of you laymen, it's okay to take care of a preacher, and you ought to do that, and staff, and all that kind of stuff. But boy, before I started preaching, I volunteered for everything after I got right with God. And I mean, I volunteered to sweep floors, to crawl up the roof and do everything. And when I went to my preacher and said, I'll do anything you want me to do, I wish that I'd never said that because he had me doing everything. Everything in the world. And Brother Smith knew him, and Brother Smith's been a great blessing to my life. But they were willing. We need some people willing. Listen to me. We need for you kids to willingly, look at me, boys. We need for you kids to willingly fight in this war. Don't run from it. Don't be a sissy. Don't run off to some other place. Hey, get in this war. You're in a war, and it's worth the fight. I'm telling you, it's worth the fight. So these men came, they realized that in the war. Number two, they volunteered to fight. Paul said, if I do this thing willingly, I can't believe I'm in the ministry. I can't believe some of you are either. Like the woman went to the doctor and she said, I want a second opinion. He said, you're ugly too. You know, I can't believe I'm doing this. I can't believe I'm called pastor or preacher. I never thought that I'd get 15 miles from Roanoke, Texas, where I started. I asked God to give me 25, and I'd be happy, and he did that, and I lied to him. I said, you got to give me 50. And I said, you got to give me 100. And I was in a town of 500. And I said, then you got to give me 200. And I'm glad. I can't believe I'm in this. I mean, this is wonderful, fellas. You're not going to hear me bellyache about being a preacher or a pastor. Lord God, man, this is great. And listen to me. I volunteer for everything. And when God's called me to preach, I ask him to call another guy. Because I said, he's tall and good looking and his name's John and he knows the Bible. I couldn't even find the concordance when I got saved. Did you get that? Get it quick. You know, and man, when God called me to preach, I said, no, Lord, you don't want me. I mean, Lord, man. And you know what? I was volunteering for everything. And I still try to do today, but some things I can't do anymore because my body can't catch up with my mind. Amen. But they came willingly. They came ready to fight. Man, they came, and listen to me, I like this number three, they used any legitimate means. Now, I grew up in an alley. And you don't say, hit me first. You grab a stick, you grab a cut piece of glass, you get anything you can, you just start cutting. My son was in school, and of course, you know, it wasn't too bad, but, you know, they preach on preacher's kids, and I said, son, just grab whatever you can and start hitting them. He said, well, I'll get a spanking for it. And I said, it'll be worth it later. Amen. Yeah. And he's not a sissy, and I'm glad he's not. And I don't want to go into all that kind of stuff. He had two big sisters, and I told his mama, I said, we're not going to have a sissy boy. She said, but. I said, no, there ain't no buts. And he's raising his little boy not to be a sissy. Now listen to me, you can use any legitimate means. Look at verse 2. They were armed with bows and could use the right hand and the left hand in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. And look a little further, look in verse number 8. And of the Gadites, they're separating themselves unto David, unto the hold, into the wilderness, men of might, and men fit of war, fit for the battle, that could use shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions, and were swift as roes upon the mountain. Let me tell you something, fellas. I don't care what you do to get people saved, as long as God approves of it. You know, when we go through this thing, somebody says, well, I wouldn't do that. I don't care what you wouldn't do. Man, I'd give $100 to see a monkey jump on a flea, see which one could fight and win. Amen. Yeah. I mean, if you want to do that and God bless it, do it. Amen. You know, they used to criticize us for giving away bubble gum. Hey, listen, I'd give away anything to get somebody to come to church. You say, I don't believe in that. Well, you better check the Bible and look at some things. Amen. And we, you know, the business people, they use all this kind of stuff. You say you're in a copy of them. It's working, ain't it? Huh? On the way up here, me and my son have been listening to Otto Koning. I don't know if you know him, the guy with the pineapple story. And he was over there in New Guinea, in that part of the world. I mean, where people, you could smell them for me at that wall and all that stuff. And he hated being there, and he's trying to learn the language. And pretty soon they found out he could fix things. And they were bringing their old beat-up stuff to him, and he was fixing it. And you need to listen to it. It'll help you. It'll bless you and help your attitude. And so he went back to a big shot business thing, you know, I mean, a business mission meeting, and had to report in. And he hadn't learned the language yet, and he didn't want to report in. He didn't want to, I call him stupid. And so he said, no, I hadn't done too good. And so then he went back to the field, and boy, started winning those people. And he God said, you do what you can to win them. And so he started winning through fixing things up like that. And he had one of the big shots, you know, come out. And they checked on him, and one guy came, and man, he saw him, had preacher boys preaching, had church services and all that kind of stuff. And he said, Otto, you're 10 years ahead. He said, you're 10 years ahead of everybody else. And he said, do you know the language yet? And he said, no, not perfect. But man, those guys could preach, and they could lead singing. And so he goes back, and they said, Otto, have you learned the language yet? He said, no, not completely. And they said, well, what are you doing? And he said, I hung my head. And he said, the fellow stood up and told him what was going on. And they said, God, now how'd you do that? And then he kind of deceitfully a little bit didn't tell them. But he said, God let me fix their shovels, axe handles, and all that kind of stuff. He used any legitimate means he could to get those guys saved. Amen. Don't let somebody cross town tell you you can't do that anymore. Don't tell them you can't run buses anymore. Man, I got kids on a mission field, used to be a bus. If I was a little bitty boy and some guy would have come by and said, you can get on a bus and pull a girl's hair while you're sitting behind, I'd have got on that bus. Amen. Now listen to me. These guys used any legitimate means. Man, they used everything they had. We're in a war, guys. We're trying to make Jesus king. You can do everything in the world, and you need to do that. When I was pastoring that church in Roanoke, I was the 26th preacher in 20-year history of the church. So that means some guys just got up one Sunday and they run them off. So I had a tent meeting. The reason I had one, because he said you couldn't do it. And we filled it up and had 40 folks saved. And I'd won a board to the Lord, been on LSD, and I said, I want you to give your testimony. And he got up, and first of all, he said, anybody picks on this preacher, I'm going to whip you. So anything he wanted, I got it for him. Hey, to make it, you know. And I said, folks, we have 250 in Sunday school. I'll get on the roof and sing Amazing Grace. You'd have had a hard time with Dale Moody. Yeah. Yeah, you'd have had a hard time with him. And so, man, I mean, we went through the week and had the thing full of 200 people every night, people getting saved. And boy, on Saturday night, it rained. Man, I mean, it came a Noah's rain. And that old building where I was in, you know, Noah wired the thing and his boys did. And there wasn't no codes, nothing. And I went down and turned the lights on Sunday morning. And I said, and it went off. So you know God was in there. No. Yeah. So I went back home. Miss Big on the phone, she started calling her, bring your lanterns and bring all that kind of stuff. And man, it rained. And I mean, people packed that thing out. We had over 200 people walking there. And I got on the roof and sang Amazing Grace. Now, you're too good to do that. But I'm not too good to do that. Hey, listen, we're here to make Jesus king. We're not here to make Buchanan king. We're not here to make anybody else king. We're here to make Jesus king. So they know they were in the war. Number two, they volunteered to fight. Number three, they used any legitimate means. And number four, listen to this, they had varied abilities. Yeah, look at verse 2 again. They were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones. Now, I'm left-handed like a woman trying to throw a football right-handed. And if she can throw a football right-handed, don't marry her. She can't make biscuits. Now, if she can carry a gun, that's okay. You know, I'm really a little weary of these feminine men and these masculine women. You know, when I looked for somebody to get married to, I didn't want a masculine woman. And I can't do much left-handed except pick my nose. You know. But here's some guys, they can do a good job left-handed. And some of them can do a good job right-handed. And then you notice several had different abilities. Man, some of them take the shield and buckler and all that kind of stuff. Brother Carl has the ability to write. I can't even read writing, but I'm like Papa, I can write reading. You know, really. Brother Gomez has that ability up north here with that Cajun personality to change these people. And he I've heard him say that. Fellas, God's given every one of us a unique ability to do something. And isn't it amazing how your body is put together? You know, wouldn't you look stupid? Well, it may be a compliment. Some of you, if your foot was up here where your head is. And listen to me. So God lets every one of us have varied abilities. And we take those abilities and we surrender them to God. And God uses those abilities, and not for our glory, not for our honor. And He uses those abilities to make Jesus king. Man, you look in the Bible. You look at the disciples. And I hate to tell you, fellas, they weren't golfers. You can't fry a golf ball, but you can a fish. You can't bake a golf ball. If you do something wrong, you appear. But you can fish. And besides that, I never understand why people want to run around, you know, on 4 or 5 acres and chase a little ball. And say, wasn't that refreshing? I've never understood that. If I couldn't hit the thing, I'd pick it up and throw it. I mean, I'd do something. When I used to drive a stick shift car, when I went to second gear, I either hit it or tore it out. You know, and I had to be careful about fishing. I'm not real patient. If I ain't catching, I ain't staying. Let me get back to my thought. Isn't it wonderful how God can take, you know, some guys have the wonderful management ability, and that's okay. And some of them come this background, and like my background, and others' background here. But God takes those people, and He puts them in the body, and He uses them, I mean, with varied abilities. Amen. But it's a reason for it is to make Jesus king. And then number 5. I love this one. Look at verse 15. Look at verse 15. These are they that went over Jordan in the first month. Watch this now. When they had overflown all his banks. Now that's what we call them in Texas. Down in Louisiana they call it bayous and stuff. And they put to flight all them of the valley, both toward the east and toward the west. Now here they came up to Jordan. And there wasn't a ferry boat. And they couldn't say,
send us a nice boat out here. We want to put our cars on it and float over and all. No.
No. They had to cross that thing. Now, how did they do that? I don't know. But they got over there. Look at it. That's what it says. And these are they that went over Jordan. And the Bible doesn't say it opened it up like it did in the day of Joshua. Went over on all of his banks. But let me tell you something. That didn't stop them. That didn't stop them. Nowadays, the average preacher, you look at him real long, he runs hide behind his wife. Yeah, come on. Oh, it's just too hard here. Let me tell you something about the green grass. It turns brown. And most times, green grass is over a sewer line, so you better watch it. Amen. Why should we expect to have an easy time, Brother Gomez? Why should we? We're fighting a formidable enemy that ain't stupid. I hate to tell you, he ain't running around with a pitchfork in his hand and a fork and tail and wearing a white suit. He's more brilliant than you and I will ever think to be. He's behind every ism, behind every asm. He's behind everything in the world is cruel and mean and all that kind of stuff. Now, I'm not saying, you know, don't mess with him. You have to be careful. But let me tell you something. It's not easy. And I'm not being unkind to you. We can still do it, but it's not going to be as easy as it used to be. Man, used to, we give a little old kid a piece of bubble gum, he'd jump on there. Nowadays, you offer them $100 bill, and they laugh, say, you going to give me $500? But we're not going to quit running our buses. Hey, you know, a lot of guys quit running buses when gas went up. Why were you running them? When oil went up, and when tires went up, and all that. You got a big God can supply all that kind of stuff. You hear what Dr. Bobby Robertson said the other night? His gas bill was $28,000. But he's still running buses. And that, you know, I used to preach, and man, before I'd get through preaching, and some of you other guys could have people start walking the aisle and all, they're not going to do that anymore. You know, we have them walk out, and it's amazing. They don't wave like this, they wave like that. And it's going to be tough, but it's worth the battle, man. It's worth it. And I've read several stories and about some guys, and I don't have time to tell you about the illustrations that went in a battle, but buddy, they stayed in that battle. I mean, and they went into that battle, and this is where you have to do it, and not being unkind without God's help. You got to go in there like, I'm the only one here, and I'm going to stand until hell freezes over, and it ain't about to freeze over. And I'm in this battle, and it's not going to be easy, but we don't need a bunch of sissies in a battle, buddy. We need some mighty men in there that says, we're going to fight. You ever read about those mighty men? That one guy stood right in the middle of that bean field with that spear and killed all them guys? I mean, these men were men. And man, they came in time and difficulty. And listen to me, we got to expect that poem, If, that brother quoted a while ago. Dr. North, that was his favorite poem. He quoted it all the time. And listen to me, Paul said, none of these things move me. And listen to me, right after he got saved, the Holy Ghost said, it's going to be tough on you. Read it in the book of Acts, folks. He said, he witnessed them that it's going to be hard. I mean, even before he got saved, after he got saved, he said it's going to be hard, but he didn't quit. He kept going. One day you and I are going to get the privilege, I don't care what you say, to stand beside him at the judgment seat of Christ. How are you going to do that? Got a little quiet there, didn't you? How are you going to stand there for those people that paved the way for you and I? And they left their blood. And they left their flesh. And we're going to stand there and say, yeah, I had it hard. I had an air-conditioned car, an air-conditioned house. And I got up every morning, and some people don't like this, but I do. You could turn this way and get hot water. And you could turn the spigot this way and get cold water. Now, I kind of like that. And man, they went hungry and thirsty and all that kind of stuff. And they stayed in there. They stayed in the battle. And they set a pace for you and I. And it was difficult for them. We got it 14 times easier than they had. And the things they went through, now we may have to face one of these days. But you're going to have to make up your mind right now that you're going to stand or you're going to quit. Because it's not going to get any better, folks. Let me go on right quickly. Number 6. They put their heart in the battle. Boy, I like this. Look at verse 17. And David went out to meet them and answered and said unto them, if you become peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. Isn't that what God does for us? Wow, we heard that this week. Wait a minute. But if you become to betray me to mine enemy, seeing then that there is no wrong in mine hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it. And the Spirit came upon Amasa, who was the chief of the captain, and he said, I like this, thine are we, David. And on thy side, thou son of Jesse, peace, peace be unto thee, as peace be to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. Then David received them and made them captain of the band. And then in verse number 33, we already read it, in verse number 38, listen to me, they put their heart in the battle. Now, isn't it something, this always amazed me. You know, here's a guy, and I like football, and they're going to change it so much that it's not even going to be football anymore. Yeah. You ever hear Joe Boyd talk about when them guys used to get their front feet knocked out? And he said the quarterback used to try to call the signals. He said, 33, 33. And the center said, what did you say? He said, 33, 33. Huh? You ever hear him talk about that? Now, listen to me. And these guys will work out and they'll sweat just to get out there for somebody to try to kill them. Their heart is in the game. You've got to put your heart in the game. You shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Now, listen to me. Some guy puts his heart into it, you're going to have a hard time stopping him. I mean, you're going to have a hard time stopping him. And listen to me, we got to put our heart into this battle because we've come to make Jesus king, and we need to give him our heart, and we need to stay in the battle. And, buddy, when your heart's in it, you're going to battle. Amen. You're going to stay in there. Then listen to this. Number 7. I love this one. Look at verse 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. Look up at me. You don't know what's going on? You don't know if the battle's worth these kids right here? I mean, the battle, listen to me. I have understanding. This. I know, there's nothing that surprises me. I'm willing to fight for these kids right here. I know what they're facing. And you know what they're facing. Hey, nothing should surprise an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist preacher. If you'll take your Bible and look at the world through the Bible, no, I tell my folks, nothing surprises me. And you listen to me. If you wake up and you say, oh, Lord, what's going on? You ought to know what to do. And you ought to stand up, and your people ought to know that you know what to do. And these guys knew what to do. They knew why they were there. They knew why they were battled. They knew what to do. Now, listen to me. We have a book that tells us what to do. We have a captain that tells us what to do. And we know how to do it. Amen? Somebody said to the old farmer, you going to the co-op meeting? He said, no. All I need to do is start plowing and planting. Amen. Now, I'm not against meetings like this, fellas, but we know what to do. This book tells us what to do, and we got to keep doing what we need to do, and it's to make Jesus king. Now, let's go on right quickly. The Bible says, verse 32, the children of Issachar, which were men that had an understanding of time, knew what Israel ought to do. Listen, the heads of them were 200 on and on. These guys knew what to do. They were mighty men. They were trained. They were men ready to fight. And you and I have been through all of that. We just got to get in the battle. And last of all, boy, I like this one. Look at verse 33. They could keep rank. The Bible says of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank. Now watch this, fellas. They were not of double heart. You know what that means? You ever watch these old Civil War things? You keep rank. They line up in rank. Like this. One rank here, one rank here, one rank here. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if I don't want to be on that first rank. You know, sometimes I'd rather be a running coward than a dead hero. I mean, you're going to get shot first. But here's what it was. They were lined up, and they could keep rank. Here they're marching. I read somewhere the other day about a group of soldiers in some country, and they had on the armor, and they carried a flag with them. And they had those, you know, the old weapons, the spears and stuff like that. But they said, when you seen those guys coming, and they're all lined up like this, and the Roman soldiers used to do, you know, they'd hook their shields together. And they said, they're coming to you on fast horses. This is going to scare you to death. But if one of these guys got knocked out of rank, you know what happened? The other guy kept standing. None of them got knocked out. They just kept going. They could keep rank. Their captain told them what to do, and they did it. Amen. Now, fellas, we've had a lot of casualties in the last few years, and I hate it with all my heart. That ain't going to stop me from the battle, buddy. I'm sorry, that's not going to stop me from the battle. And we've got to do that. We can't let something come along and keep us from the battle. Amen. And one of your best friends may mess up, and it's sad, and it's hard, and it's difficult. But you've got to keep rank. You've got to keep marching. I mean, you're in that thing to make Jesus king. Look in verse 38. Look in verse 38. And all these men of war that could keep rank, watch this now, came with a perfect heart. Somebody says, what's your plan B? There ain't no plan B. We're in a battle. Sink or swim. Amen. To make David king over all Israel and all the rest of Israel were of one heart to make David king. Now, we have a job, and that's to make Jesus king. I mean, lift him up, make him king. And God wants to use us to do that. I'm glad God's let me be in this war. I want you to pray for me. We had a lady who was dying when we came this way Tuesday. And her husband's lost. Last time he was at church, he got up and walked out. And I had to preach her funeral Saturday when we get back. She has a wonderful daughter. It's real faithful. That old man's lost. And you know, here's what happened. Now, God will put me on your heart somewhere. And the reason for that, and I understand that people give prayer requests and we forget them, but the Holy Spirit, and pray for me, we need to win that guy to the Lord. We need to get him saved. Would you do that? Heavenly Father, thank you for letting me be in this war. What a privilege to be called a soldier of the cross. Am I a soldier of the cross? Dr. Norris used to quote that old song too. Sure, if I must win, then I must fight. Help us to realize we're in a war, but it's worth it. And we have one objective, and that's to make Jesus king. Lord, bless the rest of this meeting in a wonderful way. Thank you again for this good church and the pastor and everybody that's worked hard. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, fellas.